the responsibility of men. Because again, I think it is very impressive, as we have heard, that the words of Jonah, the impact of it, it was great. A great city was turned 180 degrees as a result, believing and changing. But the matter of repentance now of those men, it is easy not to eat. It is easy to put sackcloth on. But the hard part, I think, for these Ninevites, which is really a true mark of repentance, is the verse 8. And cry mightily unto God. Now that's really repentance. Let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. It was a completely, let the thief steal no more. There were evidence. You have turned from idols. There was an evidence of stopping what we were doing before. It's not just a show, well, we're sad, we're sorry for what we did. No, there was a turning around from doing violence and corruption to now turning and following the ways of God. And that is what's important when a soul is faced with Christ. Sometimes we wonder if people are really saved. Now the Lord knows those are His. But those who accepted the Lord Jesus need to realize that there must be a repentance. There must be a turning around from the evil and the violent way. Otherwise, the gospel becomes a cheap gospel, a fire escape. Again, as far as God's sovereignty, it is a work of the Spirit. And if you're saved, you're saved. But the evidence of it was shown in how these men reacted.
Showed how deep the repentance was when he spoke about it in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 41. And he said that the people of Nineveh would rise up in judgment against that present generation that he was in. Why? Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and a greater than Jonah was in their midst. And they heard his words, they saw his works, and it did not affect them. And Paul, in speaking to Felix in the book of Acts, chapter 24, he reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And that did not even move Felix. So yes, in the power of the Spirit, as the word of God is proclaimed, there ought to be evidence of repentance in the hearts of those who have heard and believed.
I was just wondering if it's not perhaps possible, and of course it's just speculation, that they had heard of what happened to Jonah. I mean, this was a miraculous event. This man was thrown off a boat. Those sailors certainly would have spoken of that. And perhaps in some way, the word reached this great city. And if you think of a great city, it's always well connected. Now, the one reason why I like to think that, and it's just speculation, of course, is because dispensationally, if you compare what's happening here to verses in Ezekiel, there's a couple of verses in Ezekiel. Specifically, I'll read one from chapter 36, verse 36. It says, "Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate." So we see here, when Israel is brought down to its lowest place, as it will be during the tribulation, it is then that the heathen, the nations that are left round about them, will realize that this Lord, this God that these few people have been following through all this terrible time, He is the true God, and He is the one that will build this up. And so perhaps it's just maybe a nice thought to think that they see this man who was brought through such terrible time, and perhaps that's, and of course, again, we don't have to say this, it's just something that's interesting to think, that might have lent to the effectiveness of his preaching.
Just a question. It's wonderful to see that it says here that God saw their works. That's a beautiful thing, first of all, that God is looking out. He has his eyes upon everything and every circumstance, and he's going to take account of what is responsive to himself. He takes account of that. God saw. But then you have the matter of repentance, And I think it's always a ticklish issue when it comes to God repenting. Could we say something on that?
We have in Scripture a few occasions where God changes his mind in what he was about to do. And this is one of those examples. So the expression repented doesn't mean as if God is repenting like we would repent, but he is changing his mind. And based on the judgment was being based upon their condition, their changing their hearts and their minds and turning to the one true living God causes God now to respond to that. It's not as if God was taken by surprise. It isn't, this is plan B for God. He knew well in advance that they would react and respond to the message. But for our sakes, because we're finite, we're not infinite, we're mortal, not immortal, we cannot understand God unless he uses language by the Spirit in this way. So, again, we have the example of the judgment that God was going to perform upon the nation of Israel. And Moses interceded. And it said that God had, because Moses said, I'd rather you blot my name out of the book of life and spare this nation than to judge them and start over just with me. And God repented then. He turned from the judgment he was going to bring about, hearing the heart and prayer of Moses as another example. So again, it's not as if God was taken by surprise, but it does show in human history when people respond the right way, if God was declaring coming judgment, he could retract it. And we know, sad to say, this city, a couple generations later, turned back to their evil ways and finally was judged in the time of Nahum the prophet. But at this moment, these people were delivered. So we thank the Lord for that.
Let me add to what you said, Brother Bell, because I think it is an important question. You're going to face that from people who tell you, look, this Bible is not true because here it's God. What is God? What kind of God is that that he changes his mind all the time? He could not be a God and change all the time. Absolutely true. God operates in the principle that's stated in the Word of God. He state principle in his word, and he operate on that. Does God, in his word, give us a principle by which he operate? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18, because it spelled it out right there, and it makes it very easy. It helped me to understand that thing, because it is, you face those questions all the time, saying, well, what kind of God is that? This is a God that operate in the principle that he sets in his word. So in Jeremiah chapter 18, and I would read from verse 7. These are the principle that God will operate, and he doesn't change. And the application of that, or we see that in the case of the Ninevite. In verse 7 of chapter 18 of Jeremiah, he said, and at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to block up and to pull down and to destroy it. Verse 8, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant, that's verse 9, I shall speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight that obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. This is the principle that stated very clearly in the Word of God, how God react. And God act in the boundary of the principle that he sets before himself. So that's how God act. It's not a matter of God change his mind. No, he said he will do that. In the book of Jeremiah, Nineveh was doing exactly that. And God, to be true to his word, he acted in the way he promised to act. I hope that helped a little bit.